Douglas never had a problem keeping up with the Joneses. He didn't need to. He was surrounded by them. There was myself, of course, Simon Jones. Another ex-Cambridge chum, Griff Rhys-Jones, ex-Python, Terry Jones, and the subject of this section of our alphabet, Peter Jones. Peter's dry, witty, avuncular delivery, coupled with impeccable timing honed over a lifetime of comedy, made him the perfect choice for the voice of the book. And Douglas was the first to admit that Peter contributed hugely to the success of Hitchhiker. When Peter died on the 10th of April, 2000, just 2 months short of his 80th birthday, Douglas presented a tribute to him on BBC Radio, and here are a few excerpts from that affectionate appraisal of Peter's work.
I got to work with Peter Jones relatively late in his long career, but it was certainly one of the highlights of mine. I'll always remember Peter with enormous affection, pleasure, and astonishment at the sheer number of ways he was able to mispronounce the word encyclopedia. But more of that later. I remember the first time I met him, he had the air of a bank manager who had been fired for being too nice to people. A rumpled raincoat, black glasses, and a kind of genial, oh well, quality, as if we were all going to have to be awfully brave and cheerful about something dreadful that had just happened, though he wasn't quite certain what it was, or if it really was going to matter terribly much. Perhaps in later years, Peter was best known as a regular on Just a Minute, who could use his quiet, self-deprecating wit to steal the show from the more flamboyant panellists. Younger listeners probably didn't realise that Peter's own long career had embraced theatre, film and television, including being a gifted writer and a pioneer of what is nowadays called improv comedy. He was born in Wem, Shropshire, in 1920, and last year mentioned those early days in his one-man show That Reminds Me for Radio 4.
Well, eventually I was sent away to boarding school. I'm not going to tell you anything about that. Suffice to say that after two horrific years, I had a bit of luck. I got TB. And it was a life-threatening disease at that time, and my parents were very worried, but I was whisked away from the school and into a sanatorium where I stayed for a year. And that was wonderful. It was an education. I started putting on shows because I seemed to be much better than anybody else there. In fact, I got better almost overnight as soon as I left the school. And I bullied these other people who were quite often frail and unable to argue. And with great good nature, they took part in these things. And I developed a taste for it, you see. And at the end of each show, I used to write a review of it, which I submitted to the local paper. And they printed it under another name. Well, this is an opportunity that has never arisen since I sat to say.
In the early 60s, Peter became a national celebrity as Harold Fenner, beleaguered proprietor of Fenner Fashions in the rag trade in the days of black and white TV. His co-star, Miriam Carlin, had already known him for many years.
It was huge fun. I never anticipated that it would be the success that it was. And in those days, I didn't even have a television set. And so I never watched any of the rag trades. But I never expected it to sort of catch on the way that it did. But working with Peter was a sheer joy, and a relationship built up between us, which was a love-hate relationship of the shop steward and the boss, which was based on, I mean, the anger was because of the character that I was playing, the shop steward, always calling him Strike. But the warmth and the love was because I really adored Peter, and I think he felt, you know, I mean, it was reciprocated. We were great mates.
Now, girls, you're being very childish about this. You're behaving like 12-year-olds.
Everybody out. We can't work here. We're underage.
All right. It's nearly 5 o'clock. You'll be striking in your own time. Let's go home. Then in the morning we'll all be in a better mood.
Oh, no, no, we're not going home. My brothers and I are going to stay here until you agree to our demands. Everybody in!
You don't mean you're starting a stay-in strike?
Well, under the circumstances, there's no alternative, is there? If necessary, we'll sleep at our benches.
There's nothing new about that. You can't bluff me. Nobody has ever stayed here after 5 o'clock unless they were being paid for it.
Right. Bolt the doors. We're staying in.
Just a Minute first went on the air in 1967. Peter joined in the second series and soon became an indispensable asset to the show. He once claimed that he never developed a talent for the contest itself, but this never prevented his wry wit from coming through.
32 seconds are left, Kenneth, for What I Put Into Life, and you've just got a point for a correct challenge, by the way, and you start now.
Perhaps it was put most beautifully by that brilliant man who wrote, I have been so great a lover, fill my day so proudly with the splendour of love's praise, the pain, the calm, and the astonishment, the desire, illimitable and still contented, all dear names, men use to cheat despair. And that surely is what comedy is about. We recall the time when Ibsen said...
Peter Jones has challenged.
He's told us what comedy is about, but he hasn't... He did deviate, because he should have been talking about what he puts into life.
Yes, I think in a way you were.
What do you think I'm doing sitting here putting into life a comedy, so therefore it's totally irrelevant, you great nit.
But you admit it.
I mean, have you ever heard such
Kenneth, I don't think it is irrelevant, because you didn't establish...
What am I here for, I ask you?
Well, that's another question.
I think you deviated from the subject of the car because you had not established that this is what you put into life. You were talking about comedy.
And that's what it was about, he said.
I'm not going to demean myself to argue.
That'll be a change, won't it?
That'll be a first time for
everything.
Well,
I see we're starting off in usual form. So, Peter, I give you a point for that and a correct challenge. So you have 13 seconds left. What I Put Into Life starting now.
I think perhaps What I Put Into Life is appreciation. Now, Kenneth Williams is an acquired taste, and I'm still trying to appreciate even him.
Sheila has
No, that was a mistake. I thought he was repeating appreciate, but he wasn't.
No, I wasn't. No,
but I'm afraid he gets a point for that, because wrong challenge. You did press your buzzer and the light came on.
Well, I put into life a certain generosity. I've given him a point.
Wait a minute.
It's all right, Peter. You've got a point for a wrong
challenge. Why is she rabbiting on like that?
Because everybody seems to rabbit on at this game, you know.
Well, I thought I got the subject back.
Yes, you did. Get on with it.
What are you talking about?
I've got it back. You haven't lost it.
That's how I lost the chairmanship of 20 questions going on like you are.
Before I say any more about my first encounter with Peter, I'll let Stephen Fry set the scene.
Being a great lover of English cinema, I remember him popping up in all kinds of films, you know, the great rash of army films that followed the Second World War and the National Service and so on, in which he would be a sort of Cockney figure. And then particularly he developed a sort of Jewish Spiv character. I can get you this, I can get you that, which had its culmination in The Rag Trade, which I remember as a child being very fond of with him and Miriam Carlin. And then suddenly he sort of changed. He found almost a new voice in an odd kind of way. And a couple of friends of mine, Geoffrey Perkins and Douglas Adams, created the series that Douglas wrote, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which I suppose marks the Indian summer of Peter Jones in many ways. I remember Douglas saying that he and Geoffrey were sitting around saying, we need for the book, the actual guide, we need a sort of Peter Jonesy voice. And they were saying this for a couple of weeks, and then one of them suddenly clicked their fingers and smacked their forehead and said, what about Peter Jones? And in its radio form, Peter really is more than central. He creates the tone of it so brilliantly. He gives it a kind of wonderful friendliness, you know, that famous catchphrase from it, don't panic. He, you know, the way he says it is just, it really makes you feel that you shouldn't panic. There's something so calming and perfect about it, and it's totally classless. It's not a BBC voice, it's not accented, and yet it's kind of friendly, and it's English as it should be spoken.
I've mentioned Peter's affinity with bank managers I've known, so when he came for a first read-through of the Hitchhiker script and peered at it as if it was an application for a loan to buy an ostrich farm in Shrewsbury, I nervously leapt in and tried desperately to explain things. You can imagine. There's this kind of fish, you see, that they have to wear in their ears, and it absorbs brainwave energy, or it's this vicious race of alien poets, you understand. I think it'll work. And what they do is... And he sat there saying, yes... Yes. Yes. And finally, a terrifyingly long time after I'd finished explaining, I see. Another pause, and then at last a very slight chuckle, and yes, I like that. Yes, that's quite funny. That's the moment, of course, when the bank manager would have lost his job. Well, we'd better give it a go. And then, after a bit of chatter and fiddling with mics and glasses of water, he started to read it. Now, of course, 20-odd years later, the sound of his voice reading those passages is so indelibly imprinted on my mind that it's quite odd to realise there was a time when I had no idea at all what they would sound like, that there was an actual first time when I heard him say, "This is the story of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy," and knew that something, rather unexpectedly, was going to work.
This is the story of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, perhaps the most remarkable, certainly the most successful book ever to come out of the great publishing corporations of Ursa Minor. More popular than the Celestial Home Care Omnibus, better selling than 53 More Things to Do in Zero Gravity, and more controversial than Ulan Khaloufid's trilogy of philosophical blockbusters, Where God Went Wrong, Some More of God's Greatest Mistakes, and Who Is This God Person Anyway?
Of course, the secret of his performance was the usual pair of twins, brilliant comic timing mixed with enormously hard work. You'd be astonished at how many takes he would do to make sure of getting every last nuance in these impossibly long sentences exactly right. Now, I promised to tell you the significance of the word encyclopedia. Well, it was the only thing that kept tripping him up. Peter just couldn't say it, certainly not the same way twice. Encyclop, encyclic, encyclodep. It drove him crazy, and the more frustrated he became, the worse it got. In the end, I think we just had to edit the word together from individual syllables. Regardless, I think he hugely enjoyed his role in Hitchhiker, and that's something of which I am just now extremely proud. Towards the end of his life, it was clear, listening to his increasingly sublime incompetence on Just a Minute, that he was getting a little more vague than usual. But it was also clear that it was becoming an increasingly potent weapon in his comic armoury. His timing was now so exquisite, he could allow himself all the time in the world to do anything he liked and get away with it.
Quite often in the programme, you wouldn't hear from him for about 5 or 6 minutes, but then when you did, it was some devastating put down, couched in the most gentlemanly, lovely, considerate way, so you didn't really feel as if you'd been sort of insulted.
And there are 29 seconds on First Baron George Jeffreys, starting now.
First Baron George Jeffreys was a pub round the...
Peter Jones challenge.
He said that already. Very slowly.
Yes, he said that. That's the subject on the card. You can repeat the subject on the card. I know you've only been playing the game for 25 years. And sometimes things do slip your memory, I realise.
Thank God it's merciful in that way.
Peter Jones was one of the best-loved people in show business and one of the great originals of British broadcasting. We shall not see his like again. This is Douglas Adams, one of his greatest fans, saying thank you for listening.